We have language class also had to do, because most of the people are not here. If it, anyway, still I can teach language, no problem. But I thought, let me answer if any have any questions.
Swamiji, you've spoken before, and I think Swamiji's mentioned it. He spoke about the Samashti Prarabdha.
Yeah.
And then, what can you say anything about? I can understand the individual Jiva's Prarabdha, but Samashti Prarabdha.
Yeah. See, Samashti Prarabdha means the Prarabdha karma, Prarabdha of many people, many beings together, sometimes works. It's called Samashti Prarabdha. Suppose, for example, now, tsunami happened, or some earthquake, isn't it? And many people died, or some many air crash or something like that. And why should, suppose we say Prarabdha, the departure of the Sukshma from this body is determined by the Prarabdha Karma Phalam we studied here. The Prarabdha determines when does the Sukshma leave the body. If you say it is not anybody else's wish or will, it's purely determined by the Prarabdha Karma Phalam. That means the law of karma determines the Prarabdha Karma Phalam, isn't it? The Prarabdha determines means the law and order determines the departure and the entry of the Sukshma. Okay, one person can die. How can all the people die together? 150 people die, 200 people die. How can they die? Or when the whole village suffers the drought, there's no water, no food, whole village suffers. Isn't it? And the whole country suffers sometimes. The big, you know, people suffer in groups. Suffer in groups, die in groups. Isn't it? When they go through, and all of them have the problem. Now, recession. Recession, don't need to go only dying alone. What about recession? The worldwide people suffer. Samashti Prarabdha. Isn't it? Somebody was saying, in America sneezes, the whole world gets cold in. Isn't it? That means what? Suppose we say the recession is there. Now, at least Spain was okay. Now, Spain also suffers because of the European Union, the countries, other countries. Now, that the Samashti Prarabdha. Samashti Prarabdha means everybody has to pay for it. Now, suppose in Britain itself, the whole entire United Kingdom now has to go through the Samashti procession, isn't it? Somewhere people all find they had in keeping their personal individual Prarabdha. Some people lost jobs. Some people still have the jobs, isn't it? And some difficulties in different types. So recession is what now? Samashti Prarabdha. When all of us, most of the people become the victims of the given problem, isn't it? Then we call Samashti Prarabdha Palam. I mean, all of us had to go through that, isn't it? And here again, some people are highly afflicted, some people are not so much affected, isn't it? Some people who get 3,000, some will get 2,000, some will get thousands, maybe like that. That's again individual Prarabdha, isn't it? But generally, all of them suffer the recession is the Samashti Prarabdha Palam. Similarly, death happens. Suppose somebody, 100 people died in the air crash. Okay, volcanic ash, isn't it? Because volcanic ash took place somewhere, and all the flights coming from planes coming from aircraft, that side also stopped, because here Heathrow Airport was closed. And people who were supposed to travel by that, all the passengers suffered same day. There are thousands of people who are supposed to travel, you know, and all of them had, I don't know what all, every individual has on its own problems, now because of that obstruction, we don't know what all problems they had, isn't it? These are one's own Prarabdha. Samashti Prarabdha also, what now? Individual also affected. See, our Prarabdha is one day, all the aircrafts, the first time the whole, when the Heathrow Airport closed, when you see the board, and the whole road, airport road was clean, and not many vehicles. No, and then no takeoff, no landing, and no people there, and so quiet, and all the people there, that airport has to be closed. That is the prarabdha, isn't it? That can't be functional at that day. Then what happens? People who can't travel from there, for which nimittam is what? That's the prarabdha, that's the nimittam. Somebody suppose who was supposed to go to India to attend a wedding or to see something for the, maybe the sometimes lot of the patients from Gulf countries, they travel here. You know, the bypass surgery and then kidney transplantation, they come, they occupy the whole half of the aircraft they occupy. Sometimes they come with highly, they pay so much of money and travel with Gulf Airways, Kuwait Airways, all the Middle East aircrafts. And suppose somebody, that day that person doesn't come here, he'll be close. Now, he just comes and in a time where they get everything done, he survives sometimes. Isn't it? Such prarabdha is so strong, this person has to go somewhere. He has to, you know, that means what? Things happen, stop, get stopped. Isn't it? So, if there is no question why. No. He couldn't reach here in time. He couldn't go through surgery in time. And the doctors couldn't help. Gone, isn't it? Like that, we have individually, everyone has one own prarabdha. And samashti, it works. It works that way. And all the people have to go through their individual prarabdha by having one common thing as a nimittam. The nimittam is aircraft, you know, the airport is closed. Isn't it? The closing of the airport is the nimittam. But individual, everyone has one's own problems. People like this, Anya, what is the big deal? If I go, don't go, what is there? I sit here. If I don't go to India the day I plan to travel, what will happen? Nothing will happen. Isn't it? Only some food here will be, more things will be, I'll be drinking and using the place. That's all. So there's some important jobs, important work, some important conferences and meetings, people had to be there. Isn't it? They stopped. So individually, we don't know the consequences of that particular day's situation for everyone, what everyone went through. We don't know.
It sounds like, listening to what you're saying, it seems that the whole of a life is where the individual prarabdha is constantly meeting the samashti prarabdha. Constantly meeting. Wherever you go, you meet the samashti prarabdha with your so-called individual prarabdha.
Sometimes, not always. See, every individual, whatever one goes through individually, see, my own personal pains and pleasures, nobody can take it from me, nobody can bear for me, that is my samashti prarabdha. But the nimittam can be individual thing or samashti parabdha also. Samashti parabdha can be only in a situation, can be a nimittam, instrumental. For many people go through suffer. That's called samashti parabdha also. Many people suffer in a different ways, but there's a suffering which is samashti parabdha. All of them have to suffer, but different ways they suffer. Isn't it? And, 200 people simultaneously die. A tsunami came up, okay? The whole village is gone, got washed off. Samashti parabdha. Why all of them should die? Isn't it? And all of them lose properties sometimes. Gujarat earthquake, lots of properties, no? Because things go, isn't it?
But it could be the other side, couldn't it? Where a lot of people prosper because of it. That would be...
Prosperity also, not only the loss I'm saying. Prosperity also, I'm saying, pain or pleasure, both can be the result of, both are results of parabdham only. Pay punya papalam, papa palam. That's the only difference. But what is nimittam? Punyam also, samashti punyam, samashti papam. Vyashti parabdha, samashti parabdha. Isn't it? Individual or samashti. Suppose you are a partner in a company, the company does very well. And then let it hurt 10 people who are shareholders. 10 of them have to share the profit. All of them have good prarabdha. Like that.
But for you, when you're saying individual prarabdha meeting the samashti prarabdha, could we extend it to,
There's no such thing called individual prarabdha meeting samashti prarabdha. Individual prarabdha also is exhausted when something is totally affected. Suppose, like I told you, like volcanic, this volcano was there, and because of volcanic ash, when things happen everywhere, see, samashti nimittam is that incident, and for many people suffered, isn't it? Why should all the people, many people should suffer because of one incident? For all the people, one incident becomes nimittam. It's called samashti prarabdha. One situation becomes instrumental for the suffering of many people. That is samashti prarabdha. But individually, the consequence of that situation, that what one goes through, isn't it? That is vyashti prarabdha. So vyashti is part of samashti, isn't it?
But isn't the whole creation samashti prarabdha? Isn't the whole creation samashti prarabdha?
Yeah, whole creation samashti prarabdha. The whole jagat, when it becomes from after this deluge, the whole jagat when becomes manifest again. That's what we studied in that Drikdrishya class, I taught you. The whole jagat, there is a time, but the whole jagat will become resolved. We call dissolution or deluge. The thing is, we are, oh my God, we want to see how the deluge will be, how the dissolution will be. I can sit in one corner, I can watch everything going up, disappearing. That is not possible, because we are part of the jagat, isn't it? The whole jagat will be dissolved, means we'll all be dissolved. And we will never know the pain of, see, how after death, no? Before death happens, only the pain and pleasure is possible only when you have the body. Please understand, that's the happiest thing to know in the life. When you have the physical body alone, even suppose you're in the hospital or something, or at home or something, when sick and all that, any experience of pain and pleasure is possible only when you have the body. Understand now, once we depart from the body, there's no pain, there's no pleasure. And you will not know anything. That is why you will never know how, when you fall asleep, you don't know anything. After death also, see, in sleep, having the body, you do not know anything. In death, without having the body, you do not know anything. There can't be experience of pains and pleasures. You know that when the sukshma is not in the body, there is no pain and pleasure. That is why for the person who is dead, for who departed soul, we say, may the soul rest in peace. At least resting in peace. We are restless. We miss the person. We can't relate. Really speaking, that person who is not in the body, he is like, it's like in sleep. After death, what happens to the person, if you ask, what happens to sukshma? Stholam is very much lying in front of us. And we take it and cremate it. Okay, that's a different thing. What happens to sukshma? Amazing, no? But for whose presence this body was respected? Because of whose presence the body was respected? Now, because of whose have this body is cremated and thrown away. And that person is subtle, sukshma. You can't relate to it. It's invisible. On the body, it leaves the body. It is like remaining in sleep. How you do not know anything in deep sleep state, so also after death also, there is nothing will be known. Understand now, even in sleep, you don't know anything. That is my experience. Deep sleep should experience a very good example to understand a lot of things. Same way, after death, after pralayam also, when you say, you know, when the whole jagat resolves means, already you would have left the physical body. All the, understand now, everything will become resolved. Then in pralayam also you will not know anything. In sleep you will not know anything. In after death you will not know anything. After pralayam also you don't know anything. Not after pralayam. During pralayam, you will not know anything. During sleep, you do not know anything. During death also, you do not know anything. Death means what? After departing from the sthula. It's like remaining in sleep. In pralayam also, it's like remaining in sleep. In death also, it's like remaining in sleep. There is no sukham and dukkham. Nothing is there. No pain, no pleasure. So, experience of pain and pleasure. Pain and pleasure cannot be there without the experience of the pain and pleasure. Can pain itself be there? Pleasure itself be? What is pain and pleasure? Pain has its existence. Pleasure has its existence. Only if there is experience of the pain and pleasure. And experience is possible only if the body is available. That is why we don't need to worry about it. Nice long holiday, longest holiday is Pralayaha. Samashti Prarabdha. All of us will go back. And somebody might think, no, everybody go, I want to stay back. I don't want to die, you may say that. But when does it happen? You do not know. In fact, there must have been so many problems before, and we're all here. Do we remember anything? We do not even know who was our past life's mother and father. And we do not know whether what we were in the past life. You know, I was a frog or elephant or, you know, other human being. I was English or African. I don't know what I was. Isn't it? We don't know anything about it. We can't say I was this particularly. Nothing can be known. Even under the age of 1 and 2, before you picked up ego, what you were, you know, how your mother was looking after you when you were 10 months old, you don't know anything. You don't know anything. Second birthday, what frack I was wearing, you don't know anything. Even those small things you can't remember. What about the past life? Isn't it? Really speaking, that is why Pralayam, when people talk about Pralayam, 2012, New Age people are frightening. Everything will come to a standstill, everything will disappear. So what? Where will they go? They'll all come to me and they'll all come back again. Just you can say that. If Vedanti, you can easily say, whole Jagat will go back to me, come out of me. I am the devourer of everything. I am the devourer of time, devourer of space, and devourer of all the exists which exists within the realm of time and space. I devour everything. I gulp everything. You can say that. Where are they? Everything is in me. And again, from where do they come out? From me they all come out. That is why in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna, Mother Yashoda beats. He goes out and all the gopis come and complain to her mother, you know. Come on, this fellow was going and eating mud outside. You know that? Your son? They all came and complained to him. And mother was a mother concerned, a young fellow, young chap. So she really asked her, Yashoda asked this Krishna, come on, open your mouth. No, I didn't eat mud. No, he was saying, Mrittikam na kaadha mam mataha, she said. Then he said, open your mouth, come on. He opened, Indian mother, you see, very strict, rude. Open your mouth. And then she opened. Inside the mouth, when Krishna opened, he saw, my God, not the mud, all the mountains, all the oceans, the entire space, all the stars, all the galaxies, all the beings, everything he saw. And then she saw Krishna, her house. She saw in front of her Krishna was standing. That also she saw in Krishna's mouth. She saw in front of Krishna she was sitting and watching. She saw herself and Krishna and her house, in front of her house, inside Krishna's mouth. Krishna stands for Chaitanyam Brahma. That is what Yasmin Yatra Bhati Vishwam. Yatra Vishwam Nihitam. We studied in the class, isn't it? That is symbolically presented, that is. Whole Jagat. Like that, if, that's why I'm saying, if Aham Shabdartha is very clear, this is a fact. If this is really a fact, what the best thing, the damn thing, the mind has to at last understand, the mind has to understand the truth of the mind, existence of the mind is this pure consciousness. The mind is just the mithya namarupa, like the wave namarupa. The truth, the essence of the wave is H2O, so also the essence of the mind, every thought is nothing but pure consciousness. The material mind, even though we call it a matter also, the matter is just a shakti, doesn't have independent existence, isn't it? It's nothing but that vastu only. That vastu, where can you say? You know, aham means not just, we can say, aham is a notion, everything is that consciousness only, but it's available only as the aham. Aham Brahma, when you say that aham chaitanyam, When you say wave is water, when you can say, so also you can say aham chaitanyam, aham chaitanyam, yetat chaitanyam, aham brahma, yetat brahma, tat brahma, sarvam brahma. You have to say that. I should be able to say aham chaitanyam, aham brahma, this mic also is brahma. This book is brahma, this specs is brahma, you know, this mosquito is brahma, which is not brahma here. That is the vision. That is that Brahman is the only vastu which is always there unchangingly. Means everything else comes and goes, comes and goes, comes and goes in that vastu. What comes and goes is maya, matter. What comes and goes means what? The namarupas come and go, namarupas change, keep on. Namarupas in a kaleidoscope, no? They come and go like that. The namarupas come and go. But the Adhara is what? No, Chaitanyam Brahma. This is the truth of the whole life, of all these things are happening. Our parties, our cocktails, our pains and our pleasures. In India, we have our own problems like reputations and those things. And all of them actually, not outside of what? Nothing is outside of what? The only one truth. Everything else comes and goes. Everything will go. Isn't it? This is what transient, isn't it? Transitory. Nothing is permanent here. Ashashvatam. Brahma alone, Shashvatam. That is a whole, what is a big pralaya? Why should we be scared of pralaya? I'm not scared of death. I'll come back again with a new dress. If I die ignorant. If I die wise, then I don't need to come back. I resolve the whole jagat in me and then I remain comfortably. Again, the I also goes. I remain also goes. No, that pralaya also there's no problem. That is why when the whole jagat resolves, samashti parabdha resolves. Again, the whole jagat comes back. Maya becomes manifest. Samashti parabdha works. In the srishti, samashti parabdha. Then again, pralaya, samashti parabdha. Then in sthiti alone, what now? In sthiti, everyone goes through one's vyashti parabdha. That is how many times? Many, many. In sthiti means between srishti and pralaya, we would have centuries, okay? Century we have hit. And we would have come many times. Many, many times it has come and gone. And we have Ajnanam continues to be, Ajnanam is very well maintained and nursed and protected. Therefore, with our own problems, with our own, we have some little goodness also. Not totally nobody's rogue here, isn't it? Bhagavan is only Purushottama. We have, all of us have both mixture of Punya and Papa. And we have to pay back, isn't it? Settling the account all the time, go and then coming back. Finish, while settling the old debts, again accumulate the new punya papa, again come back, again go, again come, again go. And every day sleep is a little punyam, good small every day rest for a few hours. Again death is a better rest, isn't it? But for you, before we go to rest, you are so afraid of the rest. Oh my God, I don't want to die. Isn't it? Really speaking, that is a better rest. Because longer rest. But even then, you can't rest completely. Again, next set of parabdha will be ready there and you'll be back. The vyashti parabdha brings you back. In between prasishti and pralaya, vyashti parabdha brings you back. One goes before, see now today, somebody's funeral. They all have gone. And there'll be another day where we have our own funerals. But we won't see that. The person who has passed away, he can't say, oh, who all have come for the funeral, okay? He won't have list. Who all have come? I want to know. Who all feel for me? They're all emotional problems, isn't it? Is there anybody who feels for me? Worries for me? Shares my pain and pleasure? All emotional blackmailing. Nobody cares for anybody. Everybody is very selfish. Interest in one's own happiness and pleasure. Satyam. That is why Atmanastu Kamaya Sarvam Priyam Bhavati, says Upanishad. Atmanastu Kamaya Sarvam Priyam Bhavati. That is why the selfless business we don't believe, Vedanta says. Come on. You, anything you do for the happiness of others, there is your happiness, your joy, your pleasure. Of course, it's good. At least you think of others. At least for your happiness, you think of others' happiness. That's a good thing, isn't it? If my happiness is making others unhappy, means that's what a parabdha, isn't it? And then you know who have very bad parabdha become victims of such persons. That's a different thing. So my, now I'm doing, I want to make others happy means because that's how I am happy, isn't it? There's no selflessness, understand? We have to think well. That is why what is here, how we trust each other here, because we know dharmam chara. Isn't it? If I touch fire, fire will burn my finger. That is not action, that is its surupam. That is how fire is. If I go against dharma, others may not know what wrong karma I am doing. I may be in the disguise of a very good punyavan person, but still I may be doing all lots of wrong things. You know, then I can cheat others' eyes. In the eyes of law and order, I can't escape, okay? And I had to pay back for this. That is the dharma. If a person knows what Bhagavan whom of law and order, then you don't need to prove, for the sake of others, you don't need to show how clean you are, how nice you are, how righteous you are, how ethical you are. True to your own conscience, isn't it? Then you are an ethical person, means it's just you know what, how you had to pay for it, if you know, from the value of dharma, and you live a clean life. So your being ethical and righteous itself becomes what now? Your strength, isn't it? That is how you care, because you don't want to hurt others, because you don't want to be hurt. Simple thing. Not that I'm very magnanimous, don't want to hurt others. I don't want to be hurt, so I don't want to hurt others. Understand now? No, I don't mind getting hurt, still I don't want to hurt others. Nobody says, I don't mind getting hurt. If somebody hurts me, I can't have my paradha. We accept it. Still, you may not react, be reactive. Okay, that other person has hurt me, let me hurt the other person. You may not be reactive to that person. You may be generous, you may be magnanimous, you have wide understanding. Accept and accommodate the nonsense and remain quiet. That's a different thing. Isn't it? We accommodate him because, okay, and then we just get along, isn't it? And after things change, people also change, thinking changes, views change, always change, nothing is permanent here. Views will change, perceptions change, understanding changes. So that's why, what is the intimacy, how close we are to each other? If I put my money in your account every month, I'm close to you or what? It's not practical, it's not possible, isn't it? What is practical? What is the closeness between husband and wife, compared with mother and child, or closeness, any relationship? What is the closeness? How intimate? We were very intimate. We share all the secrets. Don't tell other people. That is idiotic, okay? Secret, no, don't need to talk all your secrets to everybody. Not necessary. But real intimacy is in your commitment to dharma. That is how the trust. We trust each other means there is closeness. If I trust other person, I am close to the person. My trust in the person is what now? My commitment to dharma, other person's commitment to dharma, isn't? That is, both are committed to dharma means, then that is our relationship is what now? Well lubricated, no friction. There's no friction here. That is how we are close. Otherwise, where is the closer? Where is the sharing? And all that.
It's just on the point of attention, ekagra, prajani, and as compared to ajani. I understand that the knowledge in a jani is ever with the self, is ever in that presence.
Mm.
But could you please take the example of making a cup of tea for jani? If he picks the kettle up and he raises the kettle with his hand, I'm familiar with the action of raising the kettle with the hand and thinking, which is a separate. which splits attention. And so sometimes you find when you're with the substance, this easy substance of the self, you can easily be, your attention can easily go to the kettle. So I'm wondering what the difference between an ajnani watching the television, forgetting the sense of I, and a jhani, even while engaged upon all of those actions.
Not forgetting.
Is it, yes, but what happens when that, the ekagra attention or something, does that not separate from, because if there's knowledge of something, that's knowledge of something which is something else. I can't really, really, when it comes down to the very fineness, the attention.
Actually, that's what I'm saying. That is why in jnanam, there is no focus on anything, actually speaking. In jnanam, before jnanam only focusing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Once you have understood it, there is no focus. It is effortless.
Is it okay? You don't attend?
No. There's no... Once you are very clear, then it is very... Once in jnanam, there's no effort involved. Because the vastu is very clear. See, until the vastu becomes very clear, you are focusing on the vastu. Until the vastu becomes ascertained, you are focusing. Then effort is involved. Isn't it? When the vastu becomes very clear, very, very clear, then you can't miss it. It's effortless. Effortless. But relatively, you'd be very prudent when you're supposed touching for even as I'm a jnani, I know Brahman, so everything is Brahman, fire also Brahman, if you touch, you won't do that, isn't it? There's a prudence. Relatively, one has to be very prudent. Now, jnani has to be as prudent as the jnani. Ajnani also is as prudent as the jnani in handling the day-to-day situations in life. See, all of us have this certain common sense that we know what is right. Suppose we know how to handle electricity, how to handle fire, how to handle this heat outside. Is it like we know? The presence of mind tells us, is it not a child? We're not children, no. As a grown up, mature adults, and we know how to, the car comes, whether I should cross or not. Aham Brahma, nothing will come and hit me, I can walk. And I'm a mystic person. I can say. I can leave my body there and get out of the body and go to that other... suppose there's a frog crawling outside. I can go and enter the frog and come back and again assume this body afterwards. This is all mystic business. Okay, it's all ajnanam. Ajnani also can be a mystic person. And it is useless. Okay, what is the use of leaving our body and getting into frogs? Funny thing, and coming back again. This is all mysticism. They talk about all those things. Suppose as a simple, intelligent person, when you walk, a car comes, even ajnani or jnani, we know the presence, with the presence of Padimitra. That's why the Bhagavan has given all the buddhi to think how to, whether to cross or not to cross. Enough time, the car comes there, you know how long it will take. You're so sharp. We can just walk fast or run, or we can cross before the vehicle comes. Or very close, we're very prudent, stand here. And I never see this. Now I'm very Indian, you see. There are green signals, man walking, or standing red signal like that. I don't see, okay, all the pictures, okay. I see how far is the car. The Indians have more, you know, that way we can just, we don't need to wait for all those things. It will take very long, okay, just cross quickly. It's all certain prudence, okay. We should time the presence of mind. We use just to do all those things, you know. And then I run with a big, huge body, run. And then the whole, I become entertainment also for some people when they watch me running. And they, what I'm saying, just you quickly walk. It's all with just the present, simple prudence and carefulness and certain knowledge with which your own buddhi, Bhagavan has blessed you with adequate buddhi to protect yourself with the presence of mind, isn't it? Then that is a different thing. But if you say, the pleasure and fullness, that is the difference. Difference. I know what the question you're asking. Pleasure and fullness. In the person who remains, revels in fullness, he has not forgotten himself. he has not forgotten himself, doesn't need to forget himself. He has resolved the very I-sense. Resolving the I-sense means, what does it mean? Very simple thing. Resolving the I-sense means, in Ajnanam, the I-sense is very much rooted in the body mind and complex. It is very natural. It is not a wrong thing. So when I get up and go, I can't say my body walks, I am not walking. That's all stupid things. I shouldn't say all those things. No? My body walks means I can say I am walking, I am going to the class, I say bye to all of you, I can go. This is practically we had to be very, very careful in saying these expressions do not make us a jnani or ajnani. If I say I am not walking, I am everywhere in me, this body walks, that body runs. Now, these are very, people will be confusing expressions, expressions. So what we say here, we say, suppose, in jnanam, the person revels in fullness means, what is it which revels in fullness? Is the body revel in fullness? It is the enlightened mind, isn't it? The mind which has clarity of vision, which has the understanding of the truth, that mind revels in fullness. Reveling in fullness means what? Actually having the clear understanding of there is only one vastu in which alone all the namarupas are. All the existent objects are. All the cognitions are. Isn't it? That is what just, it's like seeing the wave, seeing H2O, Swarupam, and thereby doesn't need to go and see the whole thing. You can understand the entire ocean exists in H2O. Is what seeing the fullness. Similarly, you understand this one truth, this is the truth, this is the truth, there is no other truth beyond this, other than this, and that truth, everything is the truth. Aham this, okay, therefore everything is that, I am the truth means, that's why we only say ascertained vision of the truth. I always say this, ascertained vision, I've been saying this, isn't it? So that vision is there, there's understanding, that's all. That means in that understanding, naturally the smallness centered on I will be resolved. Why? Because your I sense in the body, mind sense complex is resolved means smallness centered on I also is resolved. There are two things. I sense in the body, mind sense complex is resolved when the content of I being consciousness is understood. When the I-sense in the body mentions complex is resolved, then the smallness centered on I will be resolved. When will there be smallness centered on I? If the I-sense is in the body mentions complex, the smallness will be centered on I. Because smallness belongs to what? The body mentions complex. In terms of time, space, everything. The I-sense is naturally in the body-mind's complex. Then there is a smallness centered on I. Sense of inadequacy centered on I. If the I in the body, I-sense in the body-mind's complex is resolved, how can it be resolved? If the I, the truth of I is understood. The truth of the I is understood, then the I-sense in the body-mind's complex will be resolved. And purely cognitive, nothing is physical here, isn't it? Cognitive only. When the I-sense is resolved, then the smallness also becomes resolved. This is resolved for good. He doesn't forget the I. His I is resolved. And Ajnani's I is forgotten when he has pleasure, goes through pleasure. That is a time-bound thing, isn't it? Whereas a jnani does not forget the self, I sense is resolved. Even a jnani forgets the self, forgets the I sense. And for a jnani, I sense is resolved. That is why always there is fullness here. Whereas I sense is forgotten, what is that which helps the jnani to forget the I sense? He forgets the self means what? Because attention has to be available. For something to be remembered, attention must be paid to that, isn't it? If the attention is not paid to something, then you forget. It will be as good as non-existent. If you do not pay attention to something, then that object is as good as non-existent. You know that? If you pay attention, something is. If you don't pay attention at all, it is as good as non-existent. So you forget yourself sometimes. When do you forget yourself? Whenever you forget yourself, there is a pleasure. Even if you forget yourself for a short time, there's a pleasure. Means, imagine if you permanently resolve the I sense, you only happiness. In jnanam, you resolve the I sense. In ajnanam, you forget yourself. I sense is still there. And then for the I sense to be forgotten, for one to forget oneself, to have that fraction of fullness, not the whole fullness, no, fraction of fullness, you need something to hold attention totally. That can be a TV, the television serial. That can be music. That can be ballet. That can be dance. That can be anything. Any object of pleasure. Or simple ice cream. Don't think I love ice cream or anything, because I'm just saying, because of the heat, okay? At least I may use the word ice. That is the difference. And that object holds attention. That becomes the totally attention has to be grabbed away. The object totally robs your attention away. Therefore, what happens now? Attention is not available for I sense, therefore I sense is forgotten for length of time, then there is pleasure. This is fraction of fullness, which is state of mind. Then what happens? In India, power goes off, okay? The electric power goes off. Suddenly, the music you listen to, or the person in the hearts and air condition will be working, okay? Suddenly the AC will go off. And then the object which really helped you to have which helped you to forget yourself, and slowly are brought back to conscience. Isn't it? Then the pain comes again. It's not, the pressure is not from the object. Your own state of mind. That is why in Ramakrishna Paramahamsa's book, very simple example he gives, you know, the dog comes and the dog takes the bone and the dog starts biting, chewing the bone. No, the bone is so strong, the dog's jaw muscles are very, very, very subtle, tender and very soft. And what happened? Because the bone goes and really causes friction, the blood starts oozing out from its own flesh. And the idiot dog thinks, oh my God, as I chew, it's very tasty. It tastes its own blood. And it thinks what? The blood is, the pleasure of enjoying something in the mouth is from the bone. Actually, bone is only nimittam for the oozing out of its own blood. Isn't it? It thinks nimittam, instrumental. Similarly, our television serial, or ice cream, or food, or music, or dance, any object of pleasure is only nimittam to hold your attention, to help, you know, totally. It helps you forget yourself. So when you forget yourself, the smallness also is forgotten. Whenever smallness centered on I is forgotten for a while, resolved, short, isn't it? Then you have fraction of fullness, which is pleasure. So what does it teach here? For the pleasure to surface, pleasure is nothing but a full manifestation of fullness for a short while, fraction of time. We call that fraction of fullness. Time is when again I sense comes back, fullness also disappears. Isn't it? Therefore, what it reveals is, it is not that happiness is created. Happiness is very you already there. Fullness is already you, isn't it? Very vastu, which is you, which is everything. Isn't it? Everything is there. Only thing is, what is that prevents? What is that blocks? from flowing continuously. Aham, I said, smallness. Smallness sent down I alone blocks that the flow of reservoir of fullness. It can constantly be flowing, 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 flowing. Why should it be blocked? It is smallness sent down I. And that you can't just scrape and throw away this I smallness, isn't it? It is understanding. That's the difference. You got the point now? That is why this pleasure is lost, pleasure goes off. Because you need a nimittam all the time, something you want all the time to hold your attention. And that's why from childhood we have this, we can experience this. As a baby, you have small, what do you call it in English, gilukai? Then nothing is known in the world for you. And then you have that something, you know, when you're screaming and as a baby, helplessly, not knowing what to do, all that you could do is only screaming. And then the mother has to manage you. How to manage, how to stop your screaming? Divert your attention to something. From your problem of hunger or thirst or pain or whatever it is. And then big noise. Now, something they come, either some colorful things, something that, okay, merry-go-round, something they put on, the colorful toy, something they put. And then you see that, and then you forget. And you stop screaming. Turning the attention. Isn't it? Diverting the attention. And again you come back, before you get ready to scream again, attention is taken away from that, she has to boil the milk and everything and put in the bottle and then with everything come close to you, okay? And then when you open again, put it and then so you shut again. Shut your mouth. This is the thing. And the same thing happens as we grow older and older and older, that small toy becomes objects of our entertainment become different. As a baby you had small toy, as a growing up child you have different colorful thoughts. Then the more problematic the children are, more colorful toys. Every house where one child is there in this country, I've seen every house, half of the hall is full of toys. Why? There's no way of handling. Don't know how to handle the restless mind. You have to keep the... All toys are for what? Toys are for what? Just to divert its attention from the distance of one thing to other, you need toys. And as you grow older, the music, the dance and ballets and arts and finest and then holidaying and trips and then Greece and Spain, and you go for anything, like different places and then... And at last people also try Rishikesh and Ganga and Haridwar, Himalayas, and then people also, all sorts of things change. Classical music and all that. And some people, our Swami says, go to restaurants and eat rava dosas. Okay, you just do different objects of pleasure, changes. Everything is for just for you to be yourself. You're already yourself, isn't it? Just you need something else for you to be yourself. Look at this. If you know what you are, then you are just yourself. Just for you not to be other something else other than what you are, you need different objects of pleasures. I made it clear now.
Meditation and contemplation in a way is nimitta. Is meditation nimitta?
No, meditation helps you, is a preparatory technique in order to see when you understand the reality and for you without any distraction, undistractedly to be able to focus attention on the reality. Now the steadiness is required. It's only technique for steadying the mind. It's not object of pleasure. It's a painful, in fact. An object of pleasure means that which holds your attention. isn't it? In meditation also, when people practice and they like meditation, meditation also become object of, not meditation, acting itself. The object of meditation holds their attention. Isn't it? Then the whole attention is held again, there's a possibility of forgetting oneself for some time, for length of time. That is why meditation also becomes, you know what now, a source for you to forget yourself, to escape. Whenever it's like, no, you can forget yourself. In contemplation, you are with yourself. That is, in fact, it's an effort, it's a practice to remain with yourself. Contemplation helps you to be yourself. It's a practice to be by yourself. Contemplation is an effort to be by oneself, to be with oneself. Contemplation is being seated with oneself. Doesn't help you forget that, in fact, that reminds you of what you are. Big difference, isn't it? I can say it's just simple meditation. You can say also is object of pleasure. It's not the object, because in meditation means you're focusing on a given object, the object holds attention, and then totally the more and more and more you practice, totally whenever you sit, think of the object, immediately trance means you forget yourself. Still, there's also a different type of object of pleasure only. But whereas in contemplation, you are consciously aware of yourself. Isn't it? You are reminding yourself. You are with yourself. There's an effort to be by yourself. Is contemplation. Once you learn to be by yourself, you should know what you are. Isn't it? If you do not know what you are, how can you be by yourself? Being by oneself, being with oneself, being seated with oneself is contemplation. And which implies your knowledge of what you are. Which presupposes Shravanam and Mananam. And which being by oneself becomes what? Nididhyasanam, contemplation. And when you try that again and again, as a result of which, you will just be yourself. You don't need effort. That effort, see, initially effortfully you are with yourself, that is contemplation. In jnanam, effortlessly you are yourself. Just clear now? In knowledge, you are effortlessly, you are yourself. In contemplation, effortfully you are yours with yourself. When you're studying Shastram, you try to understand what you are. In mananam, you are resolving the doubts what you are not, what you are, isn't it? What you definitely are. Once you know what you are, then you try to be, isn't it, what you understood yourself to be. That constantly remind yourself of what you are. See, constantly, continuously reminding oneself of what oneself is contemplation. How can you remind yourself of what you are constantly if you do not know what you are? If I had to reduce my weight and I had to constantly remind myself of what I am fat. I should not forget. I forget I'm fat. Then I think I'm very thin. I go and eat lots of food. What I should do that? I am fat. I am fat. I am fat. I am so huge. I am fat. I am so huge. I am fat. I am fat. I am... Is what now? To remind myself I'm fat, I should know the fact I'm fat. I don't even know I'm fat. I also think I'm very thin. And slim beauty. I'm giving this so you won't forget what I'm... Understand what I'm saying? So if how important it is to be aware of what you are. That is what Shastram does when you do the Shravanam. In Shravanam, you are just brought to light. What you are is brought to light. Come on, what you are. And then how does it, what you are not is made clear, then what you are is made clear. Then once you know what you are, you remind yourself of what you are. So constantly you remind yourself of what you are. What a contemplation. And how long should you be reminding yourself of what you are? As long as, isn't it? Then you will never forget what you are, because very swarupam. Then this jnanam. In jnanam, effortlessly, you are just yourself, being oneself, just being oneself. Very profound statement, what I'm saying. Whereas in contemplation, effortfully you are yourself by constantly reminding yourself of what you are, which is Nididhyasanam, and which presupposes Mananam, where you are very clear about what you are not and what you are, which you understood during Shravanam. Is it clear? Am I confusing you or not?
There's one thing that you have mentioned about this Nididhyasana.
Is it clear, Nina? I've answered your question? Okay.
When you talked about Nididhyasana, you talked about this effort, and then you said it becomes subconscious, that repetition.
That is one of the methods of Nididhyasana. See, another thing. Don't think Nididhyasana means all time it goes into the subconscious also. It need not go, it can go. See, Samadhi Abhyasa Rupa Nididhyasana is one of the methods of, one of the techniques for, Nididhyasana. In fact, you don't need to practice Samadhi. You don't need to practice Samadhi. Samadhi, Nididhyasanam need not be, contemplation need not be only through the practice of Samadhi. One of the methods. What he says is, even if you understand also, because you find very difficult to, sometimes even after having understood, it's very difficult for people to focus their attention. See, constantly reminding oneself of what one Swarupam is means what? Your mind has to be all the time in that. Even in sleeping, even when cooking also, you should know. See, one subject matter, that's why the more Shravanam you do, and you will be effortlessly, you'll be in contemplation. That's why I said contemplation itself is just being, I said, not an action, I said. Remember, for us, contemplation itself, effortful, I say, for want of words, really speaking, even in contemplation, initially it is effortful. As the days go by, naturally it becomes effortless. Isn't it? Even contemplation. For which you don't need to really practice Samadhi. Suppose if people find it very difficult, oh my God, I'm not able to focus all the time on Swarupam, my own Swarupam. You know Swarupam, you have done enough of Shravanam, you have the Jnanam, you know what you are, but still you forget what you are often, because you're not able to, in spite of knowing what you are, you are not able to remember that what you are all the time, because of, it's called, this habitual misconception that is naturally there, and you forget and stimulate, that's why it doesn't help. Mere jnana doesn't help. That's why we always talk about the assimilation, ascertainment, isn't it? Even having understood so much, still I'm emotionally shattered. The knowledge has not helped me. There's no mukti. It doesn't. The jnana palam I don't experience. The fruit of the jnana palam, etc. We say. That is because still this habitual misconception or habitual error, comes and really disturbs us. That will be there for some time. That is why we say, what do we do even after knowing also, and then you keep on remembering means, and sometimes it is very, you are not able to, the mind is not steady. The inadequate, this amount of steadiness on the part of mind is not there. You mentally still disturbed, restless minded means, it may be difficult for you to focus. For such people, come on, at least keep on thinking, at least for some time deliberately make effort and to remind yourself of. Then even if, okay, then you the mind gets tired and it gives up also, whatever is intensely focused on for a short while, that will be taken over by subconscious. Even otherwise, subconscious will take over. That is why all the shastra, when you study, people may think, come on, every day we are going and sitting, Swami is rattling the same old thing, same old words, really we feel bored, her voice also doesn't sound nice, same old voice and same old thing, same object matter, same old words, what can it do, Brahma, Dhamma, Paramam, same Upanishad is repeating, isn't it? I had to repeat the same thing. I'm not justifying, what I'm doing is right or anything, I'm just telling you the truth, the fact about the teaching. Why? Because even if the whole week go everywhere and have your own time, once in a week you come and hear this and go, and all these things will be going where? Somewhere, this will also be sitting along with your pizzas, this also will be there. Isn't it? So somewhere it will work. It will remind you off. It will bring you back to this. All your cheese goes and becomes your fat, and all your, lentils you eat go and become your protein. So all the shastram you hear go and become what now? Some clarity, little clarity in the mind. It may be bored or something, that's a different thing, isn't it? But still it's satsang. It is the yajna, jnana yajna, satyam. I can assure this. Now 100% you are, 100% you are with Bhagavan in the class. I don't know, I don't care how others feel, people feel, but what it was. 100%, that is my strength, okay? I know what I'm talking, I know what you are with, I know what I help you to be with. Isn't it? And any other problem is there, all problems belong to one's own pratibandha in the mind, that's okay. And that can be managed. After some time, you'll come back to this. Okay, anything else? Any other question? Simone, any question? No question, Simone? Durariji? No question? Okay. Doctor?
To a jnani,
yeah,
who has reached a certain level, good and bad, pretty and ugly, opposites, resolve, and everything is...
Nirdvandvaha. A wise person, see, again, we talk about the level of a jnani, isn't it? We just can say, yes, a jnani, a wise person. For a wise person, it's said to be nirdvandvaha. Nirdveshta. Nirdvandvaha. Nitya muktaha. Nirdvandvaha. For him, resolved means not physical, he doesn't resolve anything physically. It is not possible for us to resolve everything physically. He knows the differences. All are one, but all are not equal. That he knows very well. But inequality is only among what now? Temporary things. All the adjectives belong to what? Big and small and good and bad. All these things, the adjectives describe only the mithya namarupani. With the reference to, isn't it? That's what jnani understands because it resolves. Nidvandvaha. Then anything else?
He sees everything as an expression of Brahman. So
he says everything is Brahman. Yeah.
No such thing as good and bad,
everything is...
He sees good, he sees bad, he sees right, he sees wrong, but good also is Brahman, bad also is Brahman, right is Brahman, Brahman is not anything. Brahman is not good, not bad, not right, not wrong. But right is Brahman, wrong is Brahman, bad is Brahman, good is Brahman, and then pain also is Brahman, pleasure also is Brahman. The law which determines the pain and pleasure also is Brahman. Everything is Brahman. But there is something which is not Brahman. That's why we have story in, you know, this one king, one thief was there, and he went and he was stealing lots of things, and he thought this king likes Advaita philosophy, okay? Let me go and use my knowledge. So he said, this thief, he wants to use his half-baked knowledge. If he really understood, he wouldn't have been a thief, no? And he was dragged to the court. In the front of the king, the king asked, "Did you steal all these things?" "I did not steal, Maharaj. You know, my legs walked towards the door, my hands broke the lock, and then my body went inside the room, my eyes saw the things, my hands picked up the things and they came back. I did not do anything, Maharaj." And the king said, "Come on, you are not at all punished. We only chop off your hands." He said, "You know that, like that, isn't it?" So you... And the famous story we have, the King Alexander's visit to India, isn't it? The Pururavas, the king was there, and during his period also there was a sadhu sitting there, and who was teaching the indestructibility of the Atma to all the soldiers. And few very small army, some just people were there, some soldiers were there, not many big. Alexander brought all over big army. And as with this, the big army can easily defeat the small army, with small number of soldiers. But the battle was going on and on and on and on for many days. Then Alexander was a very intelligent man. He thought, "My God, I thought with my big army, this Pururavas' army is nothing. They must have been just blown them away. But still, they're all still there. See, the battle is going on for many days. What is the secret?" Then he said, one of his soldiers, has spied to the Pururavas, the army, the soldiers were all in the camps, and he went, sent them to disguise to find what is happening. He thought maybe India has a lot of mystic people and the mysticism, something mystic powers must be playing here. There's no mystic power. And he went and he found one small, tiny, little Swami, very, very, puny person, sitting under a tree, not like a huge like me, okay? Small Swami, puny person, and he is sitting and talking to these soldiers. He could understand what he was teaching. And he came back and told, "My God, my Maharaj, I just searched everywhere. There's nothing secret. You know, our soldiers is very good food, healthy food. These Pururavas soldiers are eating very, very ordinary food, not even proper food. Okay? They're eating some simple food. And they're there, here and there, and then in the camps. And the only thing is, I saw one tiny person, with saffron robes, and he is talking something, the soldiers all listened to him. I don't know. He came and told. Then Pururava, this Alexander himself went to the other side. Alexander went to that, went there. And Alexander thought, "Oh, this Swami has some powers. If I bring him to my side, okay, and then I'll be victorious. Anything nice thing with other people, I should grab, okay?" That's what he thought. This Swami has some power, so let me grab the whole Swami to my side. Then I can win easily, no? Then he went and asked, and actually even as he was walking, he thought, Alexander goes means everybody will respect him. So people are so scared of Alexander, with the big gigantic personality as he was walking in. And his sadhu saw him at a distance and he closed his eyes. He wouldn't get up and then he wouldn't show any respect or anything. Because what is this fellow? Comes and usurps other people's lands. So he was just closing his eyes and sitting, this poor little Swami. And then he came and said, And he wanted to make his presence revealed to the Swami. And he he said, even then the Swami didn't open his eyes and see. And I have come here, even then I saw that didn't open his eyes. I have come here, Alexander, I have come here. Even then he didn't open. And then I have come here, Alexander. Then slowly the king, the sadhu opened his eyes. He didn't even ask. The way he looked at, oh, you have come here, what do you want? He didn't even ask. He didn't care to ask him, okay? The very looks showed so much strength in the person. He looked at it and he said, you know, if you come to my side, if you stay with my people, and then, you know, then I'll do anything you want. Whatever you want, I can give you. And then that is when the sadhu laughed aloud, you know. He laughed aloud and he said, "But I don't want anything from you. Will you please move aside a little bit? Because I want the sun's rays to fall on me." You know, he said that. And Alexander really got angry. He thought he was highly humiliated and disrespected. So immediately he said, "You know what I'll do? I can kill you." He removed his... He just took away his sword and he said, "Come on, you cannot kill me. Why? You and I are one and the same." He was very, you know, he wouldn't have understood this language. "You cannot kill me. You are Chaitanyam consciousness, I am Chaitanyam consciousness. You cannot kill me." Because consciousness is of the nature of actionlessness. "You cannot kill me." And he said, "Your hands can cut my neck, throat. Your hands can cut my body into pieces. Do that." And that, but you know, another foolish man might have done something immediately, reacted. But Alexander thought, "Oh, your hands can cut my body into pieces. But your sword can cut my body into pieces. You cannot kill me." And he thought, "Oh, something he's teaching like this." And he thought, this is the, no, he's this really, he was teaching the soldiers the indestructibility of the self and how important it is for them to be karma yogis, to prepare themselves, to do their duties for the betterment of, to recognize this fact, to become free, to recognize the fullness and happiness in life. There's no happiness apart from, you know, other than recognizing oneself. They understood, therefore they're so enthusiastic, highly inspired, and highly the clarity is given. So this is called spiritual strength. You know, they're all fighting very well, even the small numbers. And that's why the battle was going on and on and on for a long time. Now Alexander found out this, and he immediately did sashtanga pranam to this sadhu and went away. You know that? Of course, afterwards they were defeated, they won, and then all that. But Alexander changed, you know that he died afterwards. But he was a big Alexander. See, the man who's craving for power. And you know, why power again? Why karma? Why pleasures? Why power? Why do you want to be more and more powerful? Why do you want to usurp more kingdoms and lands? Why do you want to be owner of, possess so much? Isn't enough if you're simply king of, you know, Greece? Why do you want to own whole Jagat again? Again, it's all insecure. Again, the prime possessed more again. Again, one sees oneself through what one has. Seeing oneself through what one has, what one possesses, isn't it now? Again, makes him feel small only. With 100 pounds, I'm small. With 1,000 pounds, I'm small. With 1 lakh million pounds, I'm small. With 10 million pounds, I'm small. With the whole of England, I'm small. Isn't it? Seeing oneself through what one owns, what one has, one's smallness will continue to be there. That is the problem, isn't it? But seeing oneself through oneself is what now? Seeing one being limitless. That is why the problem can be solved. That is why even all these people crave, you know, power. Last bit, I think he really, Alexander was at least a very prudent person. He could change. Anyway, I don't know, don't ask me whether I've seen all these things. Okay, I'm just telling the story as if I've seen everything. I heard from others, I'm really telling you. Some elders told me the story. Is it clear now? Is it clear?
Yes.
Does it help you?
Yes.
at least to sleep, not for anything else. It makes you sleep, means still I have gone to my class is useful. In the hot sun you can't sleep anywhere in the world, in my class you can sleep. So my class is really, isn't it, blesses you with sleep, so you have to be thankful to the class still. Anything else? Any questions?
Can I ask you about this, about attention and being completely absorbed?
Yeah.
And therefore forgetting oneself, and the happiness coming from that. How does fear fit into this when somebody is totally fearful of something?
Yeah.
It would seem that at that stage the attention is completely breath as well.
That is why I said, I want to talk about the object of pleasure. When the you, in fact, you don't need to forget yourself, isn't it? When object of pleasure holds your attention, there is pleasure, isn't it? Now, sometimes when there is a fear, the fear itself is a pain, isn't it? How can there be pleasure? But only fear. Fear alone is there, means that's the most miserable situation. Painful situation. Fear is there, means the fear holds, of course, fear, the pain also holds attention. Pain holds attention. Suppose if there's small pain in the finger here, you know, your attention is not paid to the whole body. You forget your tummy, you forget your back, you forget your thighs, you forget the whole thing. The small, tiny little finger, the pain is there. All attention is, you look at this all the time like this. You forget the whole body because the pain is here, isn't it? You look at, you ask him now. He forgot his every other part. And only the pain, where the pain is, pain also holds attention. Pain holds attention. Isn't it? Only when you pay attention to the pain, that's only way to be relieved of the pain. You can't help. Going through the pain, paying attention to the pain, in fact, is paying attention to the pain is helplessly you pay attention to the pain. Your attention is drawn from pleasure to pain. Suppose when you're enjoying ice cream, okay, and suddenly you have stomachache. Your attention is grabbed from ice cream and the pain holds your attention. The object holds your attention, what the state of mind you have is pleasure. When there is pain, pain itself becomes an object of your attention. Pleasure does not hold your attention. An object of pleasure holds your attention. The state of mind you have that time is pleasure. Is it clear? But when there is pain, physical or mental, that pain itself becomes your focus, your object of your focus. Then there's no pleasure. And only by paying attention to the pain, you are going through the pain. Only by going through the pain, you can get rid of the pain. So, our Swamiji says, you can be happy going through the pain, thinking that you are getting rid of the pain, instead of having it stuffed in you. Is it better to have the pain inside, or is it better to get rid of it? Tell me, what is better? Having the pain is better, or getting rid of the pain is better? What is better? Tell me. Getting rid of the pain is better, isn't it? True or not? So to get rid of the pain, the only way of getting rid of the pain is going through the pain. Going through the pain, you don't need to make any effort. If pain is there, it will grab your attention wherever you are. Attention is, it will hold your attention. That is how it makes you experience the pain. That is why if your attention should not be paid to the moment, your attention itself has to be put to sleep. That is why anesthesia. How to put your attention to sleep? Your attention is put to sleep, the attention is not paid to, then the pain will be as good as non-existent. The doctors clean, open it and then scrub, isn't it? They play with your body. Not players, okay? They work on your body. And they'll be, isn't it? Imagine, your small wound causes so much of pain and they use all sorts of instruments and sutures and all that. What is that? Like the cow, you stitch the cloth and they stitch inside and all that. And the whole job is over. And then after 2 days, you don't remember anything, okay? Slowly, and if you cook a little bit, and again they'll put you some sedatives and then they'll put you to sleep. As long as pain is, when the pain is, they put your attention to sleep. They put you to sleep. So the attention is not available for the pain, isn't it? Because then pain will be existent. Attention is not available. Pain is, so much of pain is there. But still that pain is as good as non-existent. Why? Because you are not there. You are put to sleep. Sedatives. Locum. Locum means, and you can even see, you can see what is happening on computer. You can see how they open everything. You will be seeing as though you're watching somebody else's operation. You don't know any pain in that area. Here or wherever they operate. You can still see the whole thing, but you don't know the pain. That particular part is numb. You don't even know they're working on your own tummy. But you'll be watching on TV, that screen or computer something. The locum, isn't it? The anesthesia sometimes is completely you are put to off. It's a big surgery, means it totally put you off. Why? You can't help. Pain is there. You don't need to pay attention. Pain will grab your attention. Whereas an object of pleasure, you pay attention. Meditation, you deliberately make effort to pay attention. Whereas pain effortlessly grabs your attention. That is the only way pain can exist, survive. Attention is not held, pain cannot survive. That is how pain is gone through, experienced. Only by going through the pain, you are getting rid of the pain. Is it clear now? That is why whenever physical pain, emotional pain, any suffering, having nimittam is something. Nimittam can be, what is instrumental? The death can be instrumental, birth can be instrumental, loss can be instrumental, separation can be instrumental, anything can be instrumental, nimittam for the pain we go through. Sometimes worry about the children, no, they're not settled. Lots of things may be there. Situations, what is the nimittam, instrumental, what for the pain to surface? Pain is already there, I told you already. Pain is already there in you. Your own papa karma phalam is there in your own mind, isn't it? A state of mind, pain is there. Pain is never, never new pain. We might think, not till this time, the moment I have no pain. And suddenly I go through pain. Some loss, I hear about some news, that I get pain comes, means what? Pain is not new. Pain is already in you. It doesn't surface. When the pain doesn't surface, pain doesn't hold attention. Because pain is not even surfacing, it's there in you. And some situation becomes instrumental for the old pain to be triggered and to surface. What situation? Okay, somebody died, very close person died. Or some loss has happened. Somebody close to you is not okay. You aren't worried about some people dying in Africa. Unless they are connected to you. The whole world, people are dying and then so many suffering, so much of suffering is going on. When you see something, it affects you. We don't know anything, don't hear about it. Nothing happens, isn't it? So when there is a pain already there, some situation becomes instrumental, nimittam for you. you know, some hurt or guilt, some behavior, something causes, then it the pain becomes what a triggered. Pain surfaces. Another pain is there, and then all the time, that's why you're not able to divert attention. And people who are lost in pain, whose attention cannot be diverted at all, such people become mad. Know that? That is why whenever there's a slight pain comes up, and then your attention is not, you are not able to take attention away from the pain, you go through emotional pain. Physical pain is a different thing, isn't it? You go to the doctor, you do the needful and all that. Emotional pain, I'm saying. That is why we call them depressed. Slightest, what now? Degree of insanity. Depression. What is it called? Depression. Any painful situation holds attention, you're not able to take attention away from the situation means, and the pain continues to be there, then slowly attention being not available for many things. Painful situation will hold attention totally. You're not available for many other things which you have to do. That is why you forget things. Depressed people are highly forgetful. There's so many reasons for being forgetful. That's a different thing. And the depression is goes on and on and on and on and on. It's not addressed. It will take you to different degrees of insanity. And the height of insanity, that person cannot be corrected at all, and you have to chain the person. Emotional pain. You know what I'm saying? So, the object of pleasure alone holds the attention totally. Then what happens? For length of time you forget yourself. Then the smallness also is resolved for length of time. Then that state of mind that is there when the smallness is resolved is a fraction of fullness, which is a pleasure. But when there is a pain, their pain is a state of mind which is triggered and which surfaces, for which an external situation becomes a nimittam. When there is a pain, pain itself holds your attention. Do you have a difference between pain and pleasure? Pleasure does not hold your attention. Pleasure is a state of mind which is, the attention is lost in something. Get the difference? Do you see the difference? Pain is there, pain holds your attention, and the situation which causes the pain also holds your attention, and you will slowly get rid of it. Of course, somebody, that means you having lived for so many years with the person, old people, or some thoughts will, it's not very easy. It really, really pain. Separation is always a pain. Know that? For separation is the worst, causes worst pain. Worst pain is cause separation only. And then the holds attention. And what can it do? Then people want to get rid of the pain. They want to take attention away from the pain. You know that? How to manage the pain? People want to get rid of the pain. Get rid of pain means the attention is taken away from the pain. That's the only way pain can be managed. That is why people are given to drinks, and when you drink lots of, you get intoxicated, attention can be taken away from what? You forget yourself in drinks also. In drugs also, one forgets oneself. One loses oneself. That is why, that's why many people are given to drinks and drugs, because to manage the pain. The pain becomes non-existent for you, which is not right idea. As long as you are not in senses, if pain is not there. You come back to senses, again pain will be there. So what is the use? That's not the way, isn't it? So also sometimes this also does the same thing. Paracetamol. It kills the pain we think. Isn't it? Anyway, our Shastram says, the best way of getting rid of the pain, only in Jnanam, your pain will be resolved for good. Pain is not there in Jnanam. For the pain to be triggered, for the pain to surface, and for the pain to be experienced, and for the pain to be got rid of. Is it clear now? In Jnanam, the pain will not be there. Pain would have been resolved totally for good. The pain is not there, therefore nothing can shake you. No situation can be instrumental to trigger the pain. The pain must be there for it to be triggered and to surface, isn't it? No situation can affect you. Because there is no pain. What happened? Because only fullness. The pain is resolved for good. In Jnanam, all your pains will be resolved for good. That is what is moksha. Until Jnanam, there is a vision, ascended vision, there will be pain, and the pain will be, whenever it is triggered, situation is triggers the pain, pain will be surfacing. And then you can't help. You can manage the pain by talking, attending satsangs and listening, and then you manage the pain, diverting attention here and there. Listen to some music and all that. Diverting the pain, attention. So you manage the pain. You are not getting rid of the pain, okay? Whenever you try to divert attention from pain to other things, that is only what now? Diversion of attention from pain, isn't it? Is only helping you to manage the pain. And what happens? Sometimes the best way is to get rid of the pain by going through the pain. That is possible only whether you like it or not, still you go through the pain. That is what is prarabdha papa karma phalam. Going through the pain is what now? Prarabdha papa karma phalam. You finish it. Agama apayinaha. Agama anitya. Comes and goes. Anitya. In Jnanam it goes for good. That is why moksha. Dukkha nivrittihi is moksha. Isn't it? That is why you want moksha, Jnanam. What do you want Jnanam for? Have you made clear? Have you answered your question? Have I made it very clear? Yes. Do you have any doubt about it? I'm genuinely asking, do I make sense for you now?
Yes.
Sorry. Yeah.
Possible to speed that painful process up?
Pardon?
Is it possible to speed up the process?
Pain? No. You can only manage the pain. I tell you, pain cannot be destroyed. Pain can be resolved. Pain will be resolved for good in Jnanam. You are free from the pain in Jnanam. As long as Ajnanam is there, pain will be there, but pain for the pain, when the pain should surface, in keeping with your prarabdha karma phalam, certain things becomes nimittam instrumental, the pain will be triggered, pain will surface, and pain will be there as long as you have to go through the pain. If you think, suppose 6 months you had to suffer, I had to suffer, I don't want to say you, okay? If I had suffered for 6 months, no, I want to speed for 3 months. Okay, let me go and ask the doctor, come on, make it 3 months pain. That's not possible. Speeding up is not possible because Bhagavan's calculation is 6 months you have to suffer. Isn't it? That is why prarabdha. That is what these people don't understand. There are some people in India who have some siddhi powers and all that. These people, they think, oh, if we go and tell that Mahatma and he will take my pains away, and they also tell, come on, I'll take care of it, don't worry. When they mean I take of it, don't worry. You mean Bhagavan doesn't, no? This Bhagavan, I'm sitting and talking to him every day. He doesn't say one day, come on, go through and finish it. He tells me this. People go and tell, and then they believe also, oh, my pain has been taken away, has protected me and saved me. If there is some prarabdha karma, that person, going person must be nimittam, instrumental. He can take away little pain. He is not taking away. Again, your own punyam. Your punyam alone, only because of your punyam, you get rid of your pain. Only because, Papa, you are going through the pain. Nobody can take your pain away. Nobody can speed up your pain. Okay, 10 years pain in 5 years or 1 year. No way. But you can manage your pain. Being able to manage one's pain is as good as speeding up or not having pain. But still you are not getting rid of the pain. Only in jnanam you are completely, you are free from pain. You don't need to get rid of pain in jnanam. Why? The pain is not there. In jnanam there is no pain to be got rid of. Isn't it? In Ajnana there is a pain. But you can only manage the pain.
The art would seem to be how well you manage the pain.
Pardon?
The art of living.
That is why managing the pain, that is why karma yoga prasada buddhi. You know that? Prasada buddhi, that is why Bhagavan has said, that's only way you are able to, managing the pain means you are intelligent, you don't go mad. If allow ourselves to be dominated by the pain all the time, you can't manage the pain, means we'll go mad. How much pain can we bear? When do we go mad? When we cannot bear our pain, unbearable pain, we say, my God, every step I go through lot of problems in life. Every step, everything I touch, I have lots of problems. Pain after pain, problem after life, solving one after the other. I have no way of being free from pain. Then unbearable means what? That's why people go mad. Senel. All sorts of syndrome. People talk about so many psychological problems. But you are successfully managing the pain, then you are not mad. You are conscious, you are prudent, you are clever, you are sharp. Managing the pain, you live your life, you also sharpen your intellect, then you discover fullness, resolve pain for good. Free yourself from pain. That is a Vedantic way of life. Vedanta doesn't teach, doesn't tell you, come on, we will undo your pain. No. Pain, you'll ask, where is the pain in jnanam? In ajnanam, you have only pain. As a person with purushartha nischaya, you know how to manage pain. As a karma yogi, as a sannyasi, as a person aspiring for knowledge, knowing, having purushartha nischaya, you will know the way of life. This is the art of living. People think only doing pranayama is art of living. No, it's all buddhi clarity. How to take situations in life, isn't it? The art of living is what? Bhagavan teaches the art of living. If you know how to manage your pain, still you can, you know, you can live your life doing what has to be done, accomplishing what has to be accomplished, and then still, you know, there's a great purpose, then you are managing your pain. This art of living. This art of living. This karma yoga. That is a karma yoga lifestyle. Ishra prasada, Ishra arpana buddhi, Ishra prasada buddhi, whatever comes is prasada. And there is no way of escape. I am ready to take anything which can come. Because where paradha, how can I escape? You have clapped and the sound, you have to hear it. You can't escape, no? Because it's ordained by law, this understanding. Again, understanding a subtle fact. Karma palam is determined by law of karma. I have no say over it. Once I understand the subtle fact, I accept it prudently, intelligently. And I can't change the situation. That is why graceful acceptance. unchangeable, there's a graceful acceptance of unchangeable things, situations. And we can change prudently what can be changed. And for which again you need buddhi. So pray to Bhagavan, please give me the buddhi, knowledge, intelligence, sharpness, to understand what I can change, what I cannot change, and to change prudently what I can, to accept gracefully what I cannot. Is we say, isn't it? That's why prayer also is a must. And you don't pray to somebody who's sitting home somewhere, not praying to some stones and things. You are praying to Bhagavan, who is very much alive as pure knowledge, manifest as the knowledge, and manifest as the universal law and order, which is part of you. It's a will involved karma, isn't it? So it, prayer is effective. It's just the law and order, isn't it? How can it fail? It's very nice to know this, isn't it? Have you answered your question? Any other question? All the questions are resolved. Are you all hungry now? Hunger itself is a pain. Discomfort, anything which causes discomfort is disease. Disturbs your easiness is disease, isn't it? It's a pain. And that pain holds your attention. Not available for Vedanta Shravanam. Therefore you can't, nothing will go inside. Isn't it? Because our usual time is 1 o'clock, isn't it? But still you all came at 8 o'clock, so. If you don't have any questions, we'll stop.
Can I just ask one?
Yeah, please, please.
I'll come
little further there, so I can, it's too hot now.
I think I understand that aversion doesn't seem to be quite so easy to manage, because I can see things that I'm desiring, you know, one can let those go. But the area which seems to be quite more difficult, more subtle, is the aversion. Mm-hmm. You don't often even know that it's actually going on. And it seems to be almost like a driving a car with a handbrake on. You know, there's lots of things which really is not being properly attended to, which are there, and they just seem to be probably creating pain in the life. And it would be good to just
the aversion. How to manage aversion? See, only in understanding the cause of aversion. If you analyze why aversion is, then aversion can be resolved. Again, in jnanam, see, that is why in jnanam everything will be resolved. In knowledge, aversion will be resolved for good. That's a different thing. But when aversion is, you can't undo the aversion. Aversion can only be managed. Again, like any emotional problem, aversion or anger or desire or any thought, jealousy, hatred, all these are different states of mind. That is why we say mind management, self-management, the thought management is what now. So you take it only separately as aversion. You say it is easy to manage desires. It is easy to manage our likes. It will be very difficult to manage, you know, our likes and dislikes. Desires can be managed, but aversion, it's, you know, very difficult to manage. So passion also, isn't it? Passion and aversion. Difficult to manage, I'm saying. That's true. Difficult to manage, but not unmanageable. See, easily manageable, with great effort, certain things are manageable. They're not unmanageable, but with certain effortfully manageable. That is why if you see aversion towards what? If you see, aversion is always towards something, isn't it? A person, or situation, or a thing. When one of my friends, she hates this jasmine flower. And the more I love, the more she hates it. The reason is, when she was wearing lots of jasmine, you know, people in India, we all wear a lot of jasmine flowers, we were dressed up nicely, and she was coming, and then she heard news her mother died. She connected it, okay? And whenever she sees a jasmine flower, she hates it. That jasmine has nothing to do with her pain, her mother's death. Because she was, she enjoyed the situation. And sort of, sometimes the hatred towards something, aversion towards something, or a person, or situation, or a thing, or anything, because the anything which is only instrumental in triggering your pain, in reminding of this painful situation, is mistaken for a source of pain, or cause of pain. And anything which is only instrumental in triggering your pain, in reminding you of the painful situation, thereby being an instrument to trigger your pain, is mistaken for the source of pain, mistaken for the cause of pain. Purely, completely improper, wrong perception, misunderstanding. Our aversion itself is because of that. You mistake this, because of this person, I incur losses in my business. Therefore, because of the losses, I see all the consequences of my losing, in my business. Lots of things have happened. There are problems with my children's education. My wife and myself, we had some, I'm not saying you, I mean just what I'm saying. In the family, there are a lot of clashes, and children, education got affected. Children are very upset, because of you, we can't go to universities can't study. And the relatives we couldn't keep your words, promises, which we promised that we'll do for them. We can't, they're all upset. And society, people don't respect you, because you are not big contributor. In every way, every arrow comes from everybody. That is your own worst prarabdha you go through, because your own papa phalam. Everybody's points out, and they find fault with you. And it's all consequences of your loss you have in your business. And for the loss, your partner, who is only nimittam, instrumental, isn't it? And when you suffer a lot with everybody, you think all this the behavior causes so much of pain in you. And all this suffering I'm going through because of my loss, and the loss I incurred is because of this person's cheating and betrayal. This person, this fellow, isn't it? Then there's so much of pain, isn't it? And every time you see the fellow, all the pain, the painful situations and everything is triggered, and you can't manage the pain. You can't manage the pain. You can't handle the pain you go through. Whenever the painful situation is reminded, when the pain is triggered, when you can't handle, you, whomever you think is nimittam, the person who is instrumental, is mistaken for the source or cause of pain, this naturally aversion. This is not aversion. If you study Shastram, you understand so much, then when you see the person, aversion may still be there, but still you can manage your aversion. When you see that so much of aversion is there, still you will manage your aversion. You understand. See, understanding what the aversion is does not help you get rid of the aversion, helps you manage your aversion. Managing means what now? The aversion doesn't really make you very angry, or again, that you won't be reactive. When you are completely overpowered by aversion, then you'll be very reactive. You will be hurtful. You're damaging also. You will disrespect. You will express in your behavior all the aversion you have towards somebody. You express it in your behavior. Then then you completely, you'd be, expression is what, no, your expression is what, your actions, no? Completely you do not know what you're doing. Then you are slave of your mind. When aversion overpowers, anger overpowers, desire overpowers, means anything which you are not able to manage will be managing you. Then your actions you do are governed by your thoughts, state of mind. Not your thoughts are not managed by you, governed by you. Isn't it? Then it may cause again more damage. It may cause more, unpleasantness. Aversion always, we never heard aversion creates pleasantness, okay? Always it causes more unpleasantness. And relationship breaks, it causes great damage. The Shastra doesn't, there's no way of that person being happy, causing more and more damage, breaking relationships. There's no pleasure, there's no joy. Pleasure is always in togetherness, isn't it? Being together. And being together is possible always give and take and respecting, accepting, understanding, accommodating. It's all possible only if you understand prarabdha. What is this prarabdha business all about? Isn't I am my, nobody is responsible for what I'm going through, pain or pleasure. This understanding, my pleasure is my punya papa palam. The pain I'm going through is my own pain, what I have already in me. As long as ajnanam is there, that they'll all be there. Dvandvas will be there, isn't it? One way jnanam, they won't be there for you to get rid of or to manage. But in ajnanam, they'll all be there. You can't get rid of. Only in jnanam, you can get, they'll all resolve for good. Until jnanam takes place, until you resolve them for good, you had to be managing them. There's no way. And if you, when you do not manage the means, when you do not understand these things, then you can't manage. When you do not manage means that it gets expressed in your behavior. Unmanaged aversion, unmanaged anger, unmanaged, I'm not saying everybody is Mahatma. The one who doesn't express also has anger. One who expresses also has anger. There's no human mind which is completely free from, don't know anger at all. Don't ever believe, okay? Atom bombs. All like that. There's no human mind is completely free from anger. No. There is anger, there is hatred, there is jealousy, there is, but degree, isn't it? The degree, the proportion may differ from person to person. 20% jealousy. And 40, 60%, 100%. Then the proportion may vary from person to person, keeping with the maturity, the emotional maturity, the growth and evolution. How civilized and cultured the person is. There's no most cultured person. Jnani is the most cultured, most civilized, most mature. The most mature, the most civilized, the most cultured person is a wise person, Jnani. Until jnanam, we are not uncivilized brutes. We are so-called civilized people with some problems in us. You don't need to feel bad about it. It's like any nose should be sneezing. So what? It's like every mind is a mind, isn't it? If you're not managing means, you are unmanageable means, when you don't understand, you can't manage them. Then your behavior, there definitely will be expression of your thoughts. It can be aversion, it can be anger, it can be jealousy, it can be hatred. Unmanaged thoughts will be expressed in your behavior. That the unmanaged problems of the mind, every mind has a problem. Mind itself is a problem, every mind has problems, okay? The unmanaged means they will be expressed in the behavior. They're expressed in behavior means that means completely the person is governed by, he's a slave of the mind. And his behavior causes a lot of damage, lot of destruction. these things. And managed mind means what now? Is not Mahatma, but still managing, the person can manage one's aversion or anger or desire, etc. Then at least it doesn't get expressed. Then we call decent behavior. Isn't it? Decent behavior, not indecency. Oh, the person doesn't express it. Has it? Everybody has it. I mean, he's managing. What is that? How you can manage these things? First of all, understand, nobody is responsible for my aversion. Anything which causes hurt, anything which causes pain, anything which triggers my pain, anything which is reminds me of my painful situation, thereby causes pain, triggers the pain, not cause, triggers the pain, is mistaken for the cause of the pain, source of the pain, then I have aversion, hatred towards that thing. If I mistake because of this person, my pleasure will be affected. Okay, because of this person, my pleasure, I lose my pleasure. Loss of, not only pain causing, instrument for pain. When there is no pleasure, there is a fear of losing pleasures also, objects of pleasures also. Oh, this person's interference, this person's thing, because of this person, if I had lose my object of pleasure, I had lose my pleasures, that the very fear of losing one's pleasure also will cause pain. That also is a pain. That also cause great anger in a person, not only anger, hatred, aversion in a person. Then also when unmanaged, you don't know how, in what form it can get expressed. Then that time you don't even think, oh, how much it will hurt a person. Can I say this? Can I talk like this? Can I ask like this? No. It's not that you are doing it, that you don't, you can't manage your pain. There's a pain, there's a caused by fear, which fear is fear of losing the pleasure. The fear of losing the pleasure, fear of losing the companionship, fear of losing what I'm enjoying, isn't it? That pain, fear, causes fear is a pain, fear of discomfort, that pain, isn't it? Really, when you think somebody else is responsible for that pain, then you don't know, you don't mind hurting back that person. Your behavior will be hurtful expression, behavior. Very hurtful. That time you do not know what you are hurting also. You think you can justify your action. Because that's why we accommodate, because you know that you are doing it knowingly. Completely you are not in senses. That situation. But you think you are very, very thoughtful, very intelligent and very prudent. You are doing the right thing. That's not true. Any action, if it is going to hurt other person, means that there is a reason for it. You understand what I'm saying? Once you understand, our Tamil was a beautiful saying, nobody is responsible for your pain or pleasure. Nandrum thidum pirar taravara. Pain also is not because of somebody. Pleasure also is not because of somebody. We think this is because of music, I'm so pleased, I'm happy, you know. I heard the music, so I'm so happy. So you think, oh, music is the source of pleasure. Because this person, I'm suffering so much. You think this person is responsible for your suffering. Nobody is responsible for anybody's pain or pleasure. This understanding is there, you can manage your aversion. When you think somebody else, that which is instrumental for the pain is mistaken for the cause of the pain, becomes an object of aversion. If you understand this, then you can, okay, this fellow has come in my life because of my prarabdha, then you hit here like this, and then you will be drink water and cool yourself. So there won't be anger, smoke coming out of it. Isn't it? It's a simple thing. Our part of that. Then you manage your decent behavior and then just ignore it. Even however the person is, just ignore for some time. Respectful but still ignore. Because we don't take anything for granted. We everything is Bhagavan means, how can I disrespect anything? Yet ignore certain terms. they take it as, you know, that is for to be, but even for that you need some strength. You said, no, very difficult to manage the aversion. You can manage by having understanding of what aversion is. And second thing, even if you having understood what aversion is also, still to be able to manage the aversion, you had to be highly prayerful. So, hey, Bhagavan, whenever, no, these thoughts, I have no say over my aversion, no say over my own hatred, I have no say over my own desire, I have no say over my own anger, they all just there, they're already there. Isn't it? Everyone comes with one's own unresolved states of mind. There's no way of managing them. There's no way of undoing them. They'll all resolve only in jnanam. Until jnanam takes place. No, so let me, please bless me with the, no. That's why prayer, may all my actions be in conformity with values means, what my behavior, external behavior, should be in conformity with values means, that my external behavior should be non-hurting. I don't want to hurt, I don't intend to hurt, but my uncontrollable, unmanaged, you know, expression of my unmanageable thoughts, over which I have no say, itself what now? Cause results in hurt. When I can't manage, I express it. Isn't it? My thoughts become expressed. Then there's no will used. No, my value of knowledge is, my knowledge of values is not used. My willpower is not used. My will is abused. Unknowingly. And my behavior now becomes really, causes hurt. Then ahimsa. Then I'm not, my actions are not in conformity with dharma. That is why karma yoga. That is why Swami Bhagavan teaches so much. We highlight, you know, the value of values. You know the values, know the value of values. Then you become committed to the pursuit, committed to live a life of values. That is one of the ways of managing your thoughts. Commitment to live a life of values. You feel like going and slapping a fellow, but you don't slap. Will is used. Your knowledge of value, don't want to hurt. I don't want to create unpleasantness. Manage. It is not suppressed. Managed. Because he is not responsible really for my problems. She is not responsible for my problems. Isn't it? Just understand this. Shastra study helps. So commitment to live a life of values helps you to manage your thoughts. Any thought for that. Anger or aversion, one thought, isn't it? And also being prayerful helps you to be able to live a life of values. So prayer is a must. And being worshipful implies being thankful, being able to acknowledge the help that we enjoy from Bhagavan, enjoy from anybody, isn't it? That also helps you to manage your thoughts. And Isharpana Buddhi, before doing everything, thoughtfully doing things, not mechanically, don't do anything. Thoughtfully doing things helps you, really makes you a very disciplined person. Discipline means thoughtfully you do, because doesn't matter how dirty the place looks, but how non-hurtful I am in my things. Because ahimsa, ahimsa, ahimsa. Ahimsa means not simply not killing. People think only if I don't take AK-47, I'm an ahimsa person. No. Not hurting the feelings, you know. That's why every mind is like a delicate flower. Very carefully handled. If we touch it, even hold it hard, it'll get crushed. You can't even, you know, very carefully you have to handle every flower. You can't hold it tightly, you have to just hold it like this. Very delicate. Every mind is very, very delicate. Very soft, very... They're very carefully handling, not hurting. That's the commitment. And for which you are prayerful. That's why you seek Bhagavan's abundance of grace. You always seek Bhagavan's grace through your prayers so that you can live a life of values, which is dominant by the value of non-hurting. All other values, etc., not telling lies, not cheating, etc., mainly, ultimately, centered on not hurting. But anything will result in hurt, no? One value, if you are committed to one value, that case takes care of all other values. So being prayerful, being worshipful, be commitment to live a life of values, having Isharpana Buddhi, being alert, discretion action before you do anything, karmasu kaushalam, and prasada buddhi above all. Karma yoga lifestyle, clean life. This way, a karma yogi is the one who perfectly manages everything. It's one who manages, he becomes qualified for contemplation. The contemplative person becomes a wise person. In wisdom, you don't need to manage. You will ask, which company do I want to manage? I'm not one of anything, isn't it? That's the answer. Have you answered? Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.